I hope I can live up to that. It's a special kind of atmosphere in this house, especially this morning. I'm not going to say it feels strange to me, but it's always strange and different to feel God in a new way. I mean, I don't know how many times I've experienced that, but it begins to open up the depth of how deep and how beautiful that He is, and how hard it is to even fathom and begin to realize the God that we serve, how mighty He is. We was talking about presence and entering into the presence and talking about getting into worship. The Lord began to speak to me and begin to minister to me. And something that I've just recently, I want to testify a little bit about this kind of at the end, but something I've recently come free from. But is I viewed myself in the presence of God. And I viewed myself the way that I viewed me. And I had such a struggle viewing myself the way that... I know that sounds so simple, but, you know, I was sitting back there as the worship was going on and as the praise was going on, and I've seen this on 1,000 boxes at all these Hobby Lobbies me and Sarah's been through. it says, dance like no one's watching. And it kind of... you'd always hear that, and I always think, man, you know, to have that kind of freedom, but someone is watching. Your Father is watching you every day. And I think one of the biggest problems with praise and worship that we had is we want to praise and worship from the standpoint of looking at us how we look at ourselves. When God's saying, if you'll just praise me and look at yourself the way that I look at you, He sees us as His children. He sees us as a father with unconditional love. We can't begin to fathom the love that our Father has for us. I was sitting there in that presence and the Spirit of God was moving, and I begin to look at myself as I look at my little girl when she's in the floor and she's got her dress on and she's twirling around in circles. And I'm saying, spin again. God this morning is looking at you. He's saying, spin again. Spin. He's not looking at you saying, I saw you do this, or I saw... There's nothing she can do that'll ever make me look at her when she spins and not say, spin again. Come on, I love you. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you could have done. There's no ball you've dropped. You've not let your Father down. Your Father loves you this morning. Your Father loves you this morning, and He's looking at you saying, dance like I'm watching. Don't dance like your Father, because there's no condemnation. It doesn't matter what you've done. I love you. It's kind of strange, you know, God always, He always sets you up, and I always, probably more than anyone, toll about what God gives me, and I've always thought it was such an honor to address the people of God and the family of God, but God spoke something recently to me about Father's House and about everything that's, you know, gone on with this transition. I mean, it's been a transition, like Sean said. With transitions, you're going to have warfare. You're going to have these kind of things. I mean, we kind of knew what was going to go on. But it's just strange that God would transition that into my spirit as in that kind of feeling of His love that I probably haven't ever felt in that way. Like I said, it's just so strange to feel, but. God told me the other night, God said Father's House will be a model father of God and the way He fathers. That's special. I wrote just a few things down. Love we can't understand. There's going to be a love that we can't understand that comes out of this house because of the way this is going. And it's not, I mean, it's not, we always want to hear these messages and we get so motivated. I'm not saying it's going to come easy, but there's going to be a love that can't be understood by this community that's going to come out of this house. Forgiveness that we can't comprehend. There's going to be forgiveness and mercy. For some reason, all week long, that song, You Delight in Showing Mercy, has been stuck in my spirit. I think probably because I never could view myself through the merciful eyes of God. I just couldn't do it. I don't know. I couldn't ever look at me and see who I was and see who He's called me to be and see what He's done in me and see what I've done. I mean, unlike everyone else in here, only you know what you've done. I mean, I'll get up and testify about some things and some feelings and certain things that I'll tell you. But He knows. what you've done. He knows what you've thought, and He just sees you, and He continually looks at you as a child, and He looks at you with a love that is so perfect, and a forgiveness that is so beautiful, and regardless of how bad you felt toward your neighbor, or how much you've hated your mother or your father, or how much everything is broken down on the inside of you, and you completely screwed it up, He looks at you, and He loves you, and He forgives you, and He's merciful, and what blows my mind all week is He delights in it. He delights in showing mercy. He delights in it. He's the best all-around father in every possible way. If you can ever think of a father figure, your father, anyone in your life, any influence in your life who's been good to you, He's that in every single possible way. I think old school, old-timey religion in a lot of ways, and a lot of older doctrines, and I mean, I come up in a kind of a Pentecostal holiness, not really completely holiness atmosphere, but it causes you to view God as single-sided. And Morgan began to talk about the manifold grace in his message last week, and the many sides of God. Which is so—it's so hard. It's almost—and I'm not going to say it's impossible, but you really got to be in the spirit to begin to view God from every side. It's like, you know, just when I think I've seen everything there is of God, He shows me something completely different. And He shows me something completely special. But I was sitting praying. Dole had asked me, you know, he'd asked me about this date, and he said, "You feel comfortable bringing a word?" And I was like, "Yeah, I feel like it's something God wants to do. I feel like." But I was praying, and I was like, "God, what do you want me to do?" And God told me these words, and it kind of threw me off a little bit. And I've had to pray about it. I told Tony I'd kind of, you know, I'd really, really want to seek God's heart and really wanted to not bring nothing that wasn't from the Lord. But He told me these two words. It was family dynamics. I know that sounds strange. It sounded strange when I heard it. But I'm going to read you the definition of family. Family is a group consisting of parents and children living together in a household, all descendants of a common ancestor. Family is the people sitting around you. I think probably one of the most special things that God's going to do and has done in Father House is He's created a family. I mean, He's creating a family. But with families and with creating a family, there's going to be struggles. Dynamics. Dynamics is the forces or properties that stimulate growth, development, or change in a system or process. So the dynamics around us, the very things in this room, the very people that, I mean, I think I look at it sometimes so outside of the grand scheme of things and so human-minded, but it what blows my mind, just standing here looking, every single person in this room, every single person in this family was somewhere else at one point in time, but God handpicked that person. The person sitting beside you is not sitting beside you because they chose that seat. That God handpicked that person to sit beside you this morning. They were handpicked. They were handpicked to be in your family. It amazes me. Everyone that's come here, everyone that's been joined into this family as this is beginning to grow, is just you can see that this is what they've been looking for. It's just like they look and they say, everyone that's joined themselves, they're like, "Man, this is what I've wanted. This is what," and that's what it's going to become to this area. That's what it's going to become to this nation. But like I said, God has done a special thing. But how many know that with a special thing, that one of the number one indicators of that is going to be warfare? When God shines His favor on something, when God begins to shine His favor on it, there's going to be warfare with it. There's going to be a wilderness season every time, just about, whether you're drawn there by the Spirit or whether you get there by messing up. I've been there every single way, I think, that you can go into the wilderness. I've found it. I've learned that lesson. But everything that the favor of God, and I mean, I really feel that in my spirit after Dole began to speak that favor of God over us, that everything that the favor of God comes is going to come with warfare. And with our unique situation, we're going to have unique warfare. It's just going to be... it's going to be what happens. But what went on then here with two churches coming together and two different peoples coming together, there's been a godly marriage of two churches. But the thing we got to realize about it is with the godly marriage that there's two groups of children. We've been doing the marriage class, and I think it's so strange that anyone who's in the marriage class, I know you love it, anyone who's not in it, if they do it again, you need to, if you're married, or if they ever do a single one, I hope they do a safe, if we could just teach this, if we should take this class, teach it to our kids, you know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, it's so amazing, but Jimmy Evans, I'll probably quote because, I mean, I feel like the marriage thing. Jimmy Evans teaches that the most important thing has to be the marriage, not the children. He says when this happens, the children understand what a successful marriage looks like. So to the marriage of these two houses is the most important thing in this house. It has to be, because we have to know what successful marriage looks like. We have to know what a successful bond. We have to look at that bond. If there's ever any kind of a shaking in that bond, or any kind of a, so we got to focus, our prayer life has to be focused around the marriage of these two houses. This may be a hard one to get through. Because we were two individual bodies that had two completely separate ideals in different ways. I mean, I know y'all noticed that there was different, but and we came together. So we became Father's house, which I always thought was, you know, you had Into the Light. And I mean, just to see, like I said, I've been looking at this all week. So in my eyes, I see just the things that God's done in the Spirit and the things that I missed, because I miss it so often. He has to go back and show me where I missed it. But just, you know, how you didn't catch this, and I was doing this the whole time. But Into the Light and Freedom House. I mean, you got a ministry with Sean that Into the Light. I mean, Adol spoke this so many times, I don't think we realize how special the name of a ministry is. I mean, it's not just like somebody just popped up, Into the Light, that's what it's going to be. God, Freedom House, there was prayer went into that. And so for two names to be joined together, there was prayer went into that. The Lord has done something special. It's just not two random churches bumped into each other and said, hey, this is going to be a good idea. God, just like me and Sarah, I mean, I always thought I bumped into a girl at Walmart. I said, how you doing? She said, I'm good. And I mean, I thought that's how we got married. You know what I mean? I always thought that's how it was going to be. There was no randomness in it. I don't even feel that in my life anymore. The more I get to know her, I mean, I had prayed, and I had known about praying, about reaching out and seeking God. And I mean, for God to send me a woman like Sarah the way that I acted, I mean, He's a good God. You know what I'm saying? He's a good Father. I mean, that's how much He looked out for me. He's always been good to me. But I was going to say something, but I got me in trouble. But we've had two separate houses married. And that's going to be a lot, kind of. I mean, I know it sounds strange, but this is the way. But it's almost like two people with children that already had children, yeah, getting married. I mean, there's going to be similar obstacles. It's just, you know, I'm not trying to just throw that out there, but there is. I mean, and we got to face that. Jimmy Evans was teaching in that class, and I know the people in the marriage class have heard this. But he says, look, he talks about his wife. He said he dealt with conflict like this. When he got mad, he shut up. He didn't talk. That was it. He didn't want to deal with it. His family, it was just the elephant in the room. He said his wife, he thought they were crazy because they always talked about the elephant in the room. That's how my family was. We always dealt with, we never let stuff go. My mom told me not too long ago, we had an argument about something, and she said, that's what we do. He said, we argue about it so it don't build up. We deal with it instantly, and I'm not talking about just argue. I'm talking about dealing with things instantly. But he talks about how that's a healthy lifestyle. So these are obstacles that we're going to have to deal with. Have a lot of them been dealt with? Yeah, I believe a lot of the obstacles have been overcome. But I believe that God's wanting to do something special in the Spirit, and I'm trying to set that up with going through all this and let y'all understand. But And as I began to pray about this, and I began to seek, as God began to reveal this to me and had dropped this words, and I had family dynamics, and, you know, family being us, and the dynamics being the situations that's going on around us that's causing us to evolve and grow, that's placed there by God, that like I said, just so to look at all these faces and see y'all and realize that God is dealing with every single child in every single different way, every single day in every little situation. It just, like I said, I'm just here lately, I'm blown away and captivated by the greatness and the presence that He has, and how He has a presence everywhere. And there's thousands and thousands of churches all over the world. I mean, Sean was talking about being in Africa with 5,000 people standing. You know what I'm saying? Thousands and thousands of, and He's there in every single situation, loving every single child the same way. Every single child the same way. And I believe that that's what God is going to begin to convey through this marriage and through this joining together is that every single situation, the family's going to be there. Every single, I was watching us up here operate, and I saw, you know, Sean come up and spoke something, and it was just God was releasing something, and Ron gets up, and God's releasing something through him, and people's laying hands on each other, and God said, this is family. This is what family does. Family comes up, and but Pentecostals are so good in those family moments. We're so good up here in the front, you know, getting people laid out in the spirit and getting wild. And there's another side of family that's developing in this house. There's another healthy side of family that's developing in this place, to where we're not only going to be good at dealing with the moments up here, but we're going to deal with a lot of those moments up here before they ever get up here. We're going to deal with a lot of those moments face to face as a family. We're going to sit down. We're going to discuss them. We're going to talk them out. And we're going to deal with those things. And what God began to speak to me, as they put it up on the board here, it's going to be 1 Samuel 18. All right. This is the story of part of the story of David and Jonathan. And it was kind of, you know, I don't even really know how this got. It was just all of a sudden, just God took me to this story when I began to pray about this, and I began to seek out what God was wanting to do here in the spirit, and what God was wanting to do in this house in the spirit. And but a majority of us know the story of David and Jonathan. But and it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and let him go no more to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that he had upon him, and gave it to David in his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and he behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war. And it came to pass as they came when David was returned from the... Oh, okay, I skipped a part about the Philistines, but he's going to kill some Philistines. We got that scripture. That the women came out of the cities in Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets and joy and instruments of music. And the women answered as they played and said, Saul has slain thousands and David his 10,000. And Saul was very wroth and displeasing him, and said, they have ascribed to David 10,000, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can I, and what can have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin and said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided it from his presence. And Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him, and was departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed from him, and made his captain over him, captain over 1,000, and went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, and was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, because he went out and came in before them. I'll make sure that's where it stops. Yeah, it is. I've read this story probably. I mean, everybody in here has probably read it several times. If you've read the Old Testament, you get into this story. But and I've always read it from, you know, anytime you're reading about David, and Morgan began to prophesy and speak last week. He began to talk about the Davidic generation, and I've heard him begin to say that and begin to say that about the Davidic generation, the people that are after God's own heart. And it kind of blew my mind, but God said this to me one time in the spirit, and it's kind of strange for him to bring this message out of me now. But he said, I was reading about David, and you know, everybody wants to be David. Everybody wants to throw a rock, kill Goliath. Everybody wants to chop his head off. Everybody, but what about Jonathan? You know what I mean? As God began to bring this to me and began to show me with the obstacles that we was going to have to overcome with what was going to go on here, God just kind of spoke that in my spirit. He said, what about Jonathan? He said, Jonathan was Saul's son. He's going, I mean, most likely going to be king probably, or in the king. But what, and I mean, we talk a lot about the great things that David did and all these mighty things because, you know, David was the chosen one, anointed, and all these things. But when you look back at Jonathan saw what God had done in David and laid down everything he had and gave it to him. He laid down everything that he had and gave it to him. And he saw what he had done in him, and he gave him everything that he had. And it kind of blew my mind as I was talking to Sarah about this the other day, and I began to discuss it. And I said, you know, I believe that's what God's getting ready to do. I believe God's getting ready to release a spirit and a generation of people that are going to honor the Father's will regardless. Regardless, they're going to look and they're going to see what the Lord wants to do. And I feel like I feel like I've lost something for one. But I feel like God's getting ready to release that Jonathan spirit. And that Jonathan spirit is going to be such a necessity in this time, because like I said, we've got two families here that have come together with different children. And there's going to be people that are going to have feelings, myself included, everyone in this room, there's going to be feelings, and there's going to be times when we're going to look at the things that was done and look at the things that was built, and we're going to say, we're going to be asking, you know, when's my turn? When's my time? When does this happen? I don't know if, I know that sounds strange, and we're supposed to be relying on the will of God, and I don't want to get myself confused here, but I'm going to read another scripture, John 15, 12 and 13. And it says, 12 says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." This still rings true, that this family thing was designed around the first of many brethren, laying down his life so that all could be part of the same family. This all started by one brother saying, I'm going to lay down my life for everyone. Everything that I have, he lived spot free, sinless, and suffered for each and every person in this room. So I believe what God is saying in this hour, and I believe what God is getting ready to do in this hour is release that spirit in a way to where we see what's on our life and we see what God's doing in us, but we also see the will of God, and we look at our brother and we understand, okay, it's time for me to lay down everything for the will of God. It's time for me to say, okay, I'm willing to lay my life down. I think that's going to have to be the heart in this house in order for us to grow. The heart in this house in order for God to begin to move in the way that he wants to move in this area is that I'm going to lay down everything. Jonathan looked at David. He knew that he was anointed. He knew that God was going to use him in a mighty way. He said, I've got all this kingdom before me, everything that I'm in line for, but my soul is so knit to you. My soul is so drawn forward to my brothers and my sisters in this room. I want it to be so, I just speak that over each and every one of you, that you allow God to release that in you, that your soul begins to be so knit one to another, that you'll see the will of God and say, okay, right now is not my time, but I'm so knit to you, David, that I don't mind being Jonathan. I'm so enamored by how much the Father loves me that I can walk over with Caleb and Joshua. I can walk over and be Caleb and come back and have no problem. And I spoke this last time. I'll have no problem whatsoever just being Caleb. Caleb got to see the promised land. I mean, I think for so long there's been such a spirit that's operated in the world and in the church and in the minds of people that has said to people, you've got to be the man. You've got to be the one. What about me? What about mine? What about people that are just willing to be Jonathan? That are willing to be Caleb? That are willing to stand up and say, look, if all I ever do is support the anointed of the Lord and love Him, I'll do it because it's what my Father wants me to do. Sometimes I read my notes and I have to pray for interpretation. If you was wondering what the vials was, the Spirit of the Lord didn't just give up on me. I was like, oh God, glory, can you give me some interpretation, Lord? But I don't think God would have me bring a message like this if He hadn't set a people before me that was willing to embrace it. I don't think that there's a heart in this room this morning. I don't think that it's not that divinely connected. I don't think that God would marry together and seeing the challenges that was going to happen. I mean, like I said, He's seen everything I've done. And only about 12% of that I've told y'all about. And he sees each and every one of our hearts, each and every one of our motives, each and every one of our mindsets. The reason you got up this morning and started your car and came to church, He saw it. Whether it was, hey, I'm going to get something, hey, I'm going to praise, hey, I'm going to just see what I can do for the Lord, He sees our hearts, and I believe that He sees each and every one of us, and I believe that He set the right people in this room to make this happen, because I believe that He is about to release the family of God on this earth. I thought for so long, and it's strange that this scripture would come back to my mind, and I was just, randomly God had been giving me this scripture, and I just went and read it several times over the past few months, but it's in Jeremiah chapter 3, and then it's verse 2, but it begins to talk about the rain not coming because they had turned their face toward the whore, and it was talking about, you know, all the things that the church had done and all these things that they'd went whoring after. But I think that that's the number one in the church in America right now is self-fulfillment. I mean, I've got to have mine. I've got to get... I say this with the kindest heart possible, but it's not all about us no more. I don't know about everyone in this room, but I don't think God would have me up here speaking if y'all didn't feel the same way, but it's all about Him. It's always been all about Him. It's always, I've said this several times, but I used to always have this mindset of, oh, I want to be a great man of God. How many of y'all went to a church where people would say, man, that's a great man of God right there. That's a great man of God right there. And God just stopped me one day and He said, look, the only great thing that ever came to this earth was put on a cross 2,000 years ago. You're not capable of being great. Don't hold yourself to that standard. But God's done something special here. I can't reiterate that enough. God didn't put you here. You just didn't happen in the door if you've never been here before. You just didn't come here one day and say, hey, this is a good church for me. God's done something special here. God brought you here because you're capable of doing the will of God without self-fulfillment. I believe everyone in this room, I know the hearts of the majority of the people in this room. I know how they feel. I know how they love. I believe each and every person in this room is capable of saying, okay, God, I'll lay down my life for my brother. And I'm not talking about, I don't think that scripture, I mean, I know it's talking about Jesus, but I think in the church what God was saying with it is, look, are you willing to lay everything down you've worked for just because God wants to do something? Just because I want to move, I think for so long, even in my life, I mean, I can give you examples of it and examples of things that I wouldn't lay down because, I mean, in the times that I've sit there and been like, God, when are you going to do this for me? You know, when are you going to move for me? And God spoke this to me. And I, like I said, that's probably what I was trying to find in my notes. And I was kind of like, what in the world happened to that? But I'm just going to tell you what it was. But God told me that there's some promises in this house that haven't been fulfilled. There's some promises in the people in this room, regardless of which side you come from, because there's no two sides no more. There's one side. There's the Father's house. It, like I said, there's something in that name. There's something special in that name. There's something special in the kind of love that's going to come out of this place. There's something special in an irreversible move that God made in this place that says that the Father is here. The Father's love is here. God's about to do something special here. But I believe there's some promises that people have sat and dwelled on and said, God, you've just never fulfilled this promise to me. And I think right now what he's saying to you is, if you'll just lay your life down, everything you've worked for, everything you've given, everything you feels like owed to you, if you would just find that person that I put here, that you're supposed to be their Jonathan, that you're supposed to knit yourself to their soul and say, okay, God, I see the glory on their life. I see what you're doing. And I'm not talking about in every aspect of your life. I'm not saying you got to lay down everything. I'm saying that there's something that's being held onto by us this morning, that's being held onto by our flesh. And God's saying, look, if you'll lay it down here in a small town of Bluefield, West Virginia, I'll create a family that when people see it, they say that looks so much like the love of the Father, that looks so much like his love, that they won't be able to turn from it. God chose a people in West Virginia where family, I don't think, rings no truer. I mean, I can't think of a member of my family I wouldn't punch you in the nose for. That's just how, hey, I mean, I ain't trying to preach it like that. That's why one of the things made me lay down. But that's how it is, though. That's how it is here. I mean, when I was a kid, you didn't talk about my daddy. I'll bust your head. What's wrong with you? Huh? I mean, mama jokes, well, they didn't go over that good. You know, no. You don't talk about mama, bow hunting, and Jesus. That's it. No, I'm just kidding. But I think God chose us for a reason. I think God chose this area. I know he did. I mean, come on. What other people but people in West Virginia will be crazy enough to join two churches together and face this thing head on and say, look, we're going to deal like this with a family. But I feel like that this morning, and I want to let somebody know that some of the promises that you've been holding on to and asking God to fulfill, that there's something in your life that you've known for a long time you've known, I should let this go. It wasn't really mine to begin with. I'm clinging to something that God never really gave me. I see that, because that's what a family does. See, a family looks at each other and says, look, I'm no good at this. Okay? I'm not good at certain things. I was paying the bills for a long time. I realized I'm not good at it. Sarah pays the bills now. She pays my bills. The bills are paid. We haven't had nothing taken away. But that's what he's done here. Is it's that time and it's that season, and God wants to break that, and he wants to begin to release that into our hearts that it's okay to be Jonathan. There's no shame in it. There's no shame in not being the man. There's no shame in it. I just think that's such a demonic spirit that operates in the church, that if I'm nobody if I ain't got a microphone, or I'm nobody if I don't have a worship team, or I'm nobody. God looks at each and every one of us in that way, and he's telling us to dance before him. And I mean, I think David really captivated that when he was dancing. He said, look, it doesn't matter if he uses 1,000 other people, I'm dancing for him. I'm dancing for him.
It doesn't matter in this house today if he uses everybody in this room but me, I'm still going to dance for him. Yeah. It's time that self-fulfillment dies. It's time that becoming that great and mighty thing and having all these titles to my name and all these things hanging off my belt that everyone can see, it's time that it dies. And at times that someone says, look, you're better at me than this. Yeah. You're just better at me than this. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with, I mean, I come from Montcalm, where, you know, that's why I'm so happy for Taylor and him in football, because we was never good at football, and that's okay. That's okay with me. I'm okay at not being good at football. We'll leave it to them guys, man. Little number three, he's so fast, he's so good, he's good enough for everybody. It's all right. It's the fastest guy ever. I've never seen nothing like it. But that's what God's releasing here. That's what God's done in the spirit in this house. That's what God has done, each and every one of you. I don't want you to look at me or look at Ron or look at Sean or look at any of the leadership and say, oh, that's what God's done in you. There's something in your life. There's some things about to come in this place. There's some stuff about to happen in here because people's going to say, look, I laid this down. I'm not picking it up no more. I'm just not good at it. I don't know why I was holding on to it to begin with, but I see somebody that's good at it, and I'm going to go be their Jonathan. I'm going to knit my soul to theirs. I'm going to lay down my life for my brother, and I'm going to begin to realize that the will of God is more important in this house than anything else. Jesus said, can this cup be passed from me? He said, but thy will be done. Thy will be done, God. There's a lot of things that I've wanted to do. There's a lot of things that I thought I was capable of doing in ministry that I've pressed myself into and I've got my heart broken over because it was just never called for me to do that. It was never a call on my life. And I know this come out a little bit strange, but that's just what you're going to get with me. That's what I'm good at, okay? If you want somebody to bring it across hardcore and straight to the point, then you probably should. I'm going to bring it across just the way God, it just is what it is. There's no other way of saying it. Look, there's a lot of things that I can do. There's a lot of things that I want to do, but there's just a lot of things I'm not capable of doing. I have no shame in admitting that, but I want to be your Jonathan. I want to knit my soul to you. I want to look at you and say, hey, this is something, God, you really shine in. I want to support you in this. I want to look at you and say, look, I've tried to juggle this for years, but I'm going to lay my life down and give it to you. I'm going to lay my life down. Okay, that's all I've got, guys. I just want to say this, and I want y'all all to repeat this with me, if y'all are ready. We are Father's house.
We are
Father's house. Each and every one of us. We are Father's house. Not the pastors, not the leadership. We are Father's house. I love y'all so much.